Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to the 350th episode of Just Shoot It, a podcast about filmmaking, screenwriting, and directing. This episode is brought to you by patron Ben Steer for the last time because Oren was so slow on getting him a hat that we thought, let's just make it up to him one last time. I'm Matt Enloe.
And I'm Oren Kaplan, and today we are catching up. This is our third Matt and Oren episode in a row. I convinced Matt that they are popular as long as our topic is interesting. And I think we have four pretty interesting topics. And when I say these are the four topics, I'd say there's about a 35% chance that we will actually talk about them. Because when Matt and I record on our own, we just go straight into it. We don't do the intro at the end. And so now that you know how the sausage is made, you'll have some insight as to why the Matt and Oren episodes, we tell you we're going to talk about something and we never do.
A little less structured.
Yeah. But this is what we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hit me.
Hey, it's holiday season. What the heck are we supposed to be doing? Networking, trying to find work. It's December. Are we stressed out about money? Should we just go on vacation?
Having ourselves merry little Christmases.
Yes. Haunting Hanukkahs. Also, networking. This is kind of the season to do it. I think we'll segue into that conversation. That is something that you can always do, even when you're not working, is networking. Instead of being not working, you should be networking. Okay.
350 episodes deep, and this is the first time you've made that. Just keeping it fresh here on Just Shoot It.
I have a new term I'm going to be introducing. I think I used it with you, right? Frame dropping. It's like name dropping, but when you send people frame grabs from something you just shot, I did that. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it on our Just Shoot It thread. Sorry, don't mean to frame drop, but check out this cool shot.
I don't know if it's going to catch on. We'll see.
How much work we need is another topic where, as we are rounding out this year, it's December, we're talking about, it's something I've just been thinking about, like how many jobs a year do I need, balancing, you know, passion versus money jobs, and that whole thing that, you know, when things kind of slow down, we get to think about a little bit. And then finally, we'll talk about kind of the production companies we work with that we're flirting with and the freelance versus the production company world, because it's something that we think about a lot. And all these topics are pretty related, so I'm sure they'll mush into each other. But
yeah,
before we talk about these topics, I've issued myself a challenge. You, and many of our listeners know that I'm a big fan of my own internet speed, my fiber, my very fast SSD hard drives. So before we started recording this, I started copying 300 gigs of behind the scenes footage to my Dropbox.
Oh boy. Just wave
of interesting things.
Let me know when you're.
I copied 300 gigs. Oh, it just finished copying.
I'm gonna go make a copy.
No.
I'm gonna need to be able to stay up after
to
this.
My Dropbox, and I'm gonna see if by the time we're done recording this episode, it's all up in the cloud. Because someone just asked me to mail them a drive, and I was like, I bet you I can upload 300 gigs so much faster than mailing
Hot
it.
Diggity.
Even while I'm recording a podcast remotely, so. That's my challenge. By the end of this episode, we'll see if I've uploaded 300 gigs of data from my suburban home.
Well, dear listeners, if this is the sort of content that you find titillating, and you're on the edge of your seat, you're going to pull over just because you don't want to be a hazard on the road, because this is such an exciting episode. If you feel that way, hop on over to patreon.com/justshootitpod to throw us a buck or two, because we've been doing it for 350 episodes, 25 years. It's been a long, long time, long road.
I mean, 350, are we supposed to do a party for that? Or just the hundreds at this point?
Yeah, I think we're probably, we're that high up. 350 is a big deal though. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Weekly content, free of charge to you. So if you want to throw a little bit of thank yous our way, a buck or two a month at patreon.com/justshootitpod is a great way to show your appreciation. Keep the show going. It really does keep us feeling obligated and engaged with you all. And we're going to roll out a bunch of new stuff in the new year. Always looking for an opportunity to make the show better, make it closer to what you all want and need from it, and to expand the team to keep it engaged and fresh. So patreon.com/justshootitpod. If you would like a hat at the $20 level.
I'm a huge fan of hats.
Huge fan of hats. Without further delay, let's hop into our episode, Oren. It's December. It's a December to remember. It's December 6th as we're recording this.
Yeah, it's December. And do we have any, do you have any shoot days left on the calendar?
On this calendar
2022.
Year, this December? Yeah. No, we do not. I'm already deep into January. Yeah, for sure. And frankly, kind of stoked on it because I'm in a situation where I'm prepping everything, but we'll get to go away. It's kind of the ideal situation to be like busy enough, but not crazed, to like have enough time to really plan things out and, you know, crew is available and stuff. But then everything goes to sleep for 2 weeks and then you come back into it. That's like ideal. There's not a better situation, frankly.
Yeah. A lot of my friends in post are really busy right now because everyone's just shot stuff and is editing it and trying to finish it by the end of the year. And I think there's still companies, at least, you know, in the corporate world, advertising and everything, I think even studios probably in the narrative, like that are trying to spend, a certain amount of money this year before the year ends. But 2022 has been such a money losing year for the economy and the world. Mm-hmm. You know, between inflation and layoffs.
Yeah, I think belts are tightening in a real way. Yeah.
There's an article today in the Times about like all these tech people, you know, people graduating with computer science degrees to work for like all the big tech giants. And they're like, oh, they're all laying off people. And that's happening with the studios too, right?
Yeah. The two worst sectors, I think, right now, because job market, generally speaking, is great, which is part of what's driving inflation, unless you are in entertainment or technology.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're kind of in the middle. We're mostly entertainment, but certainly as oftentimes digital advertisers, people who are shooting, you know, a broadcast spot and then a TikTok on the side. And, you know, like, I think.
Right. But also when the biggest
slammed both ways.
Players in advertising, like Apple, who sells ads and makes ads, Google, who sell in Facebook, you know, who make the biggest, have the biggest ad networks in the universe. Like when those guys are losing a ton of employees and work, you know, it just kind of trickles down to just a lot less demand for everything.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I do think it actually might be like a time where people that can work at really low budgets and kind of more entry level filmmakers and stuff like might have some good opportunities.
Because as a result, those media spends go a little bit further, right? When there's less ad inventory across all networks, it's not like Facebook or Google, they're not going to stop serving ads if they're, especially Google, but all of them work on like a an auction-based system, right? So the more demand for an ad slot there is, the higher the rate goes, and it's all automated. But so with more inventory and less demand, there's an opportunity for smaller businesses to make a bigger impact.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so in light of no more shoot days left and you being a director and me being a director, what do you do in December? What do you do? You know, and we talked about this in the past, but like, what's the 2022 version of what we do at the end of the year? What does your week look like? Are you thinking more about vacations or stressing more about the next job? Are they pretty equal?
You know, I was really stressed in November. I was really, really stressed. And, but now, you know, I've booked some jobs since then. And so I'm just feeling just a lot more optimistic about things. And my hope, and maybe I might go even call it a suspicion, is that a lot of the squeeze that we're feeling right now that you were alluding to, I think some of that's speculative and that the recession that's coming isn't going to be quite as gnarly as we're all fearing it's going to be. And that both tech and entertainment have been in decades long growth spurts, booms. And so of course they're going to tighten their belts and all of that. But that 2023 from an work perspective for you and I think is going to be relatively standard. I don't think it's going to be as terrible as maybe it feels like in this moment.
Do you think that because COVID is kind of obviously still very prevalent, but winding down in terms of how much it separates us and remote work and all that stuff,
how present it is in people's minds?
Yeah. Or how even I think the gift of COVID was that you could work from anywhere in the country, right? That's kind of like for any company. And we saw kind of people migrate. Now that it's like, you know, auditions are coming back to in person, like shooting in LA is, you know, getting much more common. But on top of that, inflation, rents, all that stuff is really high. Do you think it might create a situation where like a lot of kind of people on the edge of professional filmmaking have been kind of priced out, and that like maybe it might be a little less competitive coming into the new year as a director, filmmaker?
Potentially. You mean for people like us, people who have established roots here?
Us, or even people that are like more established or less established, but kind of floating in the vicinity of but us.
You mean living in a major marketplace that because of inflation and because of housing costs, it's prohibitive for people to enter that space, basically.
Yeah. And also just so many people leaving LA, you know, during the pandemic and realizing they don't really want to come back. Like, does that create opportunities for us?
I think
especially in like very specific, like the celebrity space, right? Like it helps to be in LA because a lot of them live in LA and they will give you 6 hours and you got to basically go to them.
Right.
And so if you have a director in LA, that it makes it convenient.
Yeah, I mean, both of the jobs I have coming up are celebrity-based to that point. A thing that I have been fearful of on behalf of our friends who moved is that telecommuting has made things easier for everyone, but the nature of networking, of running into someone at a coffee shop, of grabbing drinks casually, of staying top of mind, is an interpersonal one. And so I've certainly have missed it and have really worked hard in the last few months to just like catch up with people, just to be like, hey, we're old friends. What's going on in your life? Let's grab a drink. That part of the relationship building, you can't really replicate on a Zoom
remotely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just told you, one of our recent guests, Claire Scanlon, I ran into her at my daughter's gymnastics tryouts, and her daughter was also trying out. Mm-hmm. And we kind of barely recognized each other because the only time we'd ever met had been on Zoom, and it's just not the same as meeting in person. But now, you know, it's happening more. So that happened. And then, you know, today I had lunch with Pastor, a producer that we know, just because he happened to be in town. On Thursday, I'm having lunch with an editor that listens to the podcast.
It's all those things that you don't premeditate. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And then, and now those people will be like, oh yeah, Oren, that's right. Good to see you. I'm going to throw his name in the ring for this or that or whatever, or refer you to somebody else or whatever. And those are two examples. Maybe that happens. Maybe that's not. And also our lives are not, it's not like we're all constantly like, who can I network with in order to get more work? You're just living your life. You're taking your kid to gymnastics or whatever. And that's the X factor that we are paying a premium for, basically.
Yeah. By living here. Yeah. But I do, mm-hmm. I do wonder if the pandemic has, if there are more filmmakers, because I feel like for a time there was like, hey, everyone's like, they're a filmmaker at home. We all kind of democratize everything because we're all equal, right? We all just have like our iPhones and whatever, maybe our DSLR at home and our families, and that's who we're shooting with. And those are our resources. And we were kind of all making the same types of like pandemic films and shorts and just having time to experiment, you know, kind of that's like year one of the pandemic. Year two, it was like, we're going to do this, but we're going to be careful here and we can't travel there and we can't do but now that we're kind of returning back to, you know, 2019,
year two, it was like, oh, what if I just wrap myself in saran wrap, but otherwise it's still the same shoot, right? Basically. Yeah.
By the way, I think you might be the only person I know at this point that has never had COVID.
Don't hide the player.
I do wonder if like it, there's just less filmmakers. I feel like, I don't know. This is all just a sample size of anecdotal. One, but I do feel like I'm hearing about more jobs in the last couple months than I have. I feel like in the summer things were slow. And I think a lot of that was like the macroeconomic picture of the world and just companies not sure if they want to spend money. But I think now that they're kind of, you know, reluctantly spending some money. I feel like I don't know why. It seems like slightly less competitive. And I think my reel is not significantly better than it was a year ago. So I don't think it's like I've entered into some new echelon of work. You know, I think it's there's more work. I don't know. Anyway, I'm curious to see how next year goes. But on the topic of networking and on the topic of what to do in December, I think that is like, that's the thing. When I see, oh, I have a day off, I'm like, who can I have lunch with? Who can I call? Or can I just go to my favorite Starbucks in Los Feliz and see who I run into?
Sure. Run into people. Yeah. Yeah. The thing of running into people is so nice. And I've really enjoyed lately. I'm at a point now where, and I'd love for you to weigh in on this, I've caught up with a lot of just friends, you know, just like, oh, Carlin and I went and grabbed a coffee or whatever a couple of weeks ago. And
interesting. Didn't see the invite.
It was nice. Hi, Carlin. I hope you're listening. But, you know, that thing of just like, oh, I'm going to talk to my like friends, the people I'm close with, you know, about life and about business and just kind of take the temperature of like, what's going on with you? What's going on with me? Like, you know, how can we help each other? All of that stuff. But the personal stuff, really. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've been thinking about like people who I like, but I haven't talked to in 2 or 3 years, 4 years even, you know, especially the pandemic really made that wonky. And I started to write a couple of those emails and was like, gosh, how do I write this without sounding just so
thirsty? Yeah.
Yeah. I just like, you know, the check-in, and it's not like I've got new work that's pertinent to them specifically, because that's a different email and I feel differently about that. But you know, just the like, hey, it's been a while email. Do you have an approach for that? Do you have an in for that?
I'm not great at the it's been a while, but I'm not bad at, hey, I saw this thing you posted and I just want to tell you I thought it was awesome. Literally, you know, last week my endorsement was these two videos, the Tom Cruise AFC Championship promo and the teasing John Malkovich promo that were written by this writer, Billy Scafari, who I had worked with a year and a half ago or something. And I kind of ran into him because he lives in my neighborhood, apropos to what we were talking about before, but I haven't worked with him or anything. And I just like, he had posted the Tom Cruise thing on Facebook and I watched it and I just thought it was like really well done. And so I just emailed him and I just told him, hey, I I think this is amazing. And, you know, we emailed back and forth a couple of times. So I didn't like say like, hey, check out my new work or whatever. I, you know, he asked me what I'm up to also, but it was like really natural. And then even like, you know, at your party, your Nora's birthday party, your daughter's birthday party, I ran into Bobby Lamb, the DP that we both know that I haven't seen for a very long time. And we'd kind of just been texting because he mentioned that he shot this Disney Channel movie. And then my daughter and I watched it Under Wraps too. And then I was texting him about, I was like, hey, I'm watching your movie, you know? And we talked about all sorts of random things, you know, over text. So I think just having a little in, but, you know, holiday parties, I think it's like important to go because you see these people, producers, friends, and it doesn't always have to be people that are going to hire you. A lot of times it's people that you might hire, you know, or collaborate with in some way. So I think, I don't know. I think it's important. I actually had a job a couple weeks ago, and when we hired a production designer, I'd offered up a few names of production designers I like to work with. And then the producers asked them all to bid out the project, which I was not a huge fan of. You know, and just for those of you that are listening, that don't know what that means. Like is when you go to a production designer and you say, hey, this is what we want to shoot. Can you tell us how much that would cost? It's, and you know,
that's work.
It's
that's
yeah, work. It's that's work. Work. Yeah. It's a lot of unpaid work, which we're used to doing, but I hate when people are asking my friends to do it for me on behalf.
The value proposition is also different.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah,
exactly. So, one of the production designers, so we ended up going with one production designer, but another one that didn't get the job, I felt bad about it at the time, but I was so busy. I didn't do anything, but just like a couple of days ago, I called her and I was like, hey, sorry about that, that thing that happened. Like, I just want you to know that like, you're awesome. And like, we were very excited that you were interested and this is how it ended up going. And I hope, and I talked to her for like an hour on the phone and it was totally, you know, she's like a person I work with a lot, but we don't like chat. We don't go get coffee or anything. So I felt like it was just, you know, she ended the call with like, hey, just so you know, like any, it doesn't matter the budget, I'll work. I just like love working with you. So any job, you know, call me. And so it just kind of opened the door to think of her even on the jobs where I feel like maybe she, the budget is a little small for her or something. So I don't know. I think anyone would appreciate hearing from either one of us, especially if it's calling them to tell them that you wanted to say hi to them or that you saw their thing that's good or that's not about, hey, check out my new thing, you know?
As a tiny bit of, I dare to say pushback, but it just as a counterpoint, maybe. All of those instances that you outlined in terms of who's giving who work,
right?
You're more likely to like refer that person to get work rather than you're going to hire them rather than they're going to hire you. So of course they're happy to hear from you. Whereas like a producer, a person who, you know, you're friendly with and maybe they picked you for a couple projects and maybe you didn't get picked on a couple others. There's a different layer of,
well, I think the writer Billy would be
emotionality.
More likely to hire me than me to hire him.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think there's, you know, producers. I just had lunch with, you know, this producer, Pastor, and I had seen some of their work recently and I talked about,
did you reach out to him to get lunch?
He happened to reach out to me just cause he was like right by my house. But when we talked, I wasn't, you know, I told him about my project, but I also, you know, even the old production company that I was with, Superlative, like I see their things posted and they posted some like really incredible work recently on Instagram. They're doing like, and like some of the best tabletop like food stuff I've seen, and I will like it. I'll comment on it. You know, I'll be like, who shot that? You know, my friends at Sawhorse, like whenever they post anything, I'll talk about it, you know? So I think to me, if the approach is like, hey, I like what you're doing, this is awesome. It's the equivalent of saying, hey, I would love to do stuff like this with you, you know, without having to actually say those words. Yeah.
But so I like all of this very much. Is there a scenario where you think it's appropriate to approach someone essentially out of the blue?
Yeah. Oh, well,
to be like, oh, hey.
Yeah. So I do have a,
it's been a while,
a story. So I did a couple of things for Disney Channel a couple of years ago. I remember the Descendants thing. And something for their Zombies franchise. And those were both through this guy, Vincent, that worked at Disney Channel doing promo stuff. And I really enjoyed it. Then COVID happened and we kind of went dormant. And I was thinking like, hey, I really liked that. It was kind of longer form. Working with amazing cool actors. Work. Yeah.
Cool.
Funny
cool,
kid stuff.
Cool team.
Yeah. My daughter like knows the actors that I'm working with, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, I don't know if this, how you would do this always, but I called my friend, my pretty good friend, Ken, who works at Disney. And I was like, hey, does Vincent still work at, you know, Disney Channel? Like, I'd love to reconnect with him because I really loved that work. And I haven't heard from him for like a year. And he said, oh, he actually doesn't, but there's a new person that kind of does a similar role. I'd love to introduce
you. Nice.
Yeah, he actually put the ball in my court. He's like, send me an email reminding me like the stuff you did with Disney Channel and I'll kind of use it to tee me up to talk to him about you. So I'm doing a little bit of that stuff, but I think it's, you know, honestly from our podcast, like there's a lot of great producers, Kara and Natalie and like people that we could probably reach out to. I mean, they're always posting stuff online.
Right. What I'm getting at is that like, I'm trying to find ways for listeners to reconnect with people that they've worked with in the past. But it sounds to me like basically every scenario, there is like a little bit of a short circuit that you're employing, right?
Yes, like, but I think you need to look for the short circuits. Like I think anyone that's worked with anyone, like unless they had a really bad experience together, can be like, hey, I saw you guys just posted this new car spot. It's awesome. Like, I love this shot and this shot. Like, you know, keep up the good work and have a happy
new year. But if they haven't posted that work, that's what I'm
Well, then if they're probably not going to hire you for anything.
I'm saying out of the blue. Yeah.
If someone's not posting about the work they're doing, they're not actively talking to the world about like these things they have going on. What's the value of like out of the blue reaching out to them?
Sure.
Just, you know, being friends.
Just being friends. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like you need to be a little more calculated. You want to reach out to the production companies you're a fan of that you'd like to work with. You want to reach out to writers you'd want to collaborate with, you know, whatever, influencers, whatever your thing is, agencies. Sure. You need to reach out to people that actually have things that you might be good for. Otherwise,
this stuff going on.
You're just,
well, and you know what chatting. I think is really to bring this full circle and then we can move on. Maybe the secret point that you're making, Oren, is the flip side, right? Like letting people know what you're doing, what you've been actively excited about, sharing that work is a way of sending up the flare, like, hey, hit me up, right? And those people that have gone dormant, maybe who aren't posting as regularly or whatever, they're dealing with whatever, they're busy with work or they're, you know, in a development phase or whatever, and that like the people who are actively putting themselves out there are maybe the people that you should be hitting up and vice versa, I guess, more importantly.
Yeah, I think there's, if other people are putting out work and talking about jobs, then
it's an invitation
to contact them. If that's not happening, then you're making the work, then you do what they're doing. You say, you go to Facebook, you go to Instagram, you go to TikTok, and you're like, hey, check out this fun stuff we did behind the scenes. And then, you know, and follow them. Like there's zero cost to following these people, subscribing them, you know, hitting them up on social media, just linking your account so that when you post stuff, you know, hopefully if they follow you back, they'll see it. So I guess that's kind of my strategy right now. Of course, like in a week from now, I'll be desperate for a job and I'll be emailing everyone pictures of my kids. Oh, by the way, do you guys send holiday cards? Are you doing that? Do you?
We do. Yeah. I it's on my to-do list.
I mean,
too.
Honestly, that's like, I think the holiday card is like a good way. You know, it's weird to send to the people you really don't know, but it's for people you worked with. And like, even with a personal note, you know, like, hey,
are you printing them out and mailing them?
We print them out. Like we have them printed out by someone and then we can write notes on them or whatever. But don't expect a note from us, Matt. Okay. You already know enough.
I won't. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a good time to network because people have downtime. It's like, you know, I think you want to avoid like Christmas Day, but I think like,
sure. Yeah. But the week leading up to it, because there is also that thing.
Yeah. Where people are winding down at work, right?
And leaving town. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you hit someone up and they're like, oh, it's really slow at work and I'm in town, I would love to hang out. I'd love to grab a coffee real quick. You know, that's maybe one in five people, but
yeah,
that's perfect. You know,
yeah.
Send five emails, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing I've been thinking about for December, and I'm curious your thoughts, is like, I'm much more of like a project by project person. Like, you know, I shot 12 mm-hmm. commercials or whatever this year. You kind of go on and off from being on staff to being freelance or whatever. But do you ever think to yourself like, well, I need to shoot this many days or make this much money or do this much per month for my mm-hmm. year to work out? And I'm curious if you do that, like how December plays into it, because you know, it sometimes you got to divide it by 10 a little bit instead of by 12.
Certainly that's the case. My system is a little bit more based off of percentage of the goal that I'm trying to hit versus the percentage of the year. But, you know, I mean, I think you told me this a few years ago now, or maybe just last year, that like some jobs are big money jobs and some aren't. Am I mentally prepared for December and January to be slow? Yeah, I think honestly what's happened is that the jobs that I have booked for January are really 2022 jobs that are hitting the books from this year, basically.
Yeah, but you won't get paid till after you shoot them.
Sure, that's true. You always hope that there'll be a thing or two that kind of shakes off the tree. And that it will be slow. It will be slow in January and February, kind of across the board. So normally I would like take a trip in January, you know, mm-hmm. then I'm just like, my mind's off things. I'm enjoying the freelance lifestyle and being able to go camping or go on a road trip or whatever. Now that I have a kid, it's a kind of a different deal.
Right.
But like.
Now you just have to go to Legoland every day.
Or, you know, like, I'm looking forward to some, you know, repainting all of the doors in my house. They need a coat of paint.
Yeah, that's exciting.
You know, just kind of some home maintenance stuff.
Might I recommend you project or two. Watch them dry? I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. But the other thing that I think is more important is it's a good time to develop that next project, because that is the lifeblood of a freelancer is... and the answer to the questions that we had before, you have something to post about, whether it's a short or a new feature or whatever, a new pilot, get that stuff going. Because while everyone is at Sundance, you'll just be like writing next year's Sundance hit rather than just sad that you're not there.
Before we started rolling, I mentioned to you that this show that I've been talking about for months, the scripted podcast that I wrote with my friend Julie, and that we recorded and we did a proof of concept and we teamed up with Temple Hill on, and we were pitching to Audible. Finally, the deal is finally coming to fruition and we are like signing the paperwork. And my guess is at this point that, you know, nothing will actually start until January in terms of like dates and mm-hmm. deadlines and things like mm-hmm. that. But I was thinking like, oh, if things are slowing down, maybe we should try to get ahead on that a little bit. You know, maybe we should mm-hmm, mm-hmm. start outlining and writing things. And,
you know, you call that working in good faith.
Right. But I feel like it's working in good faith.
Which your lawyer doesn't want you to do.
When the other party is also in on it. You know, they haven't asked us to do anything yet mm-hmm. until all this stuff is done. So it's not even good faith. It's like just trying to get ahead of the busyness. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I know you're kind of up for some jobs and still negotiating and things. Like, do you ever think like, oh, I'll go make shot lists or I'll go pull some images or I'll find some references for a job that you haven't actually gotten yet?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm in it. Like the job that I'm on, it's kind of a rare thing where it hasn't officially awarded due to some kind of like technicalities, basically. But so the way that I draw the line is I'm used to doing work that's a bit of a wager, you know.
Right.
I don't ask that work of my crew.
Right, right.
So even though like I've got department heads on hold and this and that, I'm not being like, hey, let's shot list now. Or can you start pulling samples for this or that? Or like location scout, any of that stuff. That doesn't happen until the job is a go, basically.
Right.
But I would say, especially when it comes to writing,
mm-hmm.
get on it.
Yeah.
Because,
or I thought maybe like, I'll just start kind of reading a lot in the genre of what I'm writing just to kind of be, you know, re-inspired and stuff.
Yeah, sure. Do that. Start writing. This is maybe the best advice I've ever given you. Start writing. Because here's the truth, right? Like, most writers are writing on spec anyway. So like, if the fear is that like, oh no, the deal falls apart and I'm not going to get paid for the work that I did, well, you were just going to fuck around anyway. You know what I mean? Sounds to me like the worst case scenario is that you become a better writer, have more material, and like maybe are ahead of the game so that when you're busy pitching and developing other stuff and like trying to capitalize on the success of this incredible breakout hit podcast and also have a booming commercial career, you're not totally underwater.
Right.
That sounds like a worthwhile wager to me.
Yeah. Or I could just keep learning better things in Blender.
Sure, you could do that too. And look, there's some mental health aspects of just like noodling, you know, and hibernating for sure. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you logged
a couple hours a day,
5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Deep work, just like two reps of deep work, it would be worthwhile for sure. Because the problem is that like writing is just way harder to cram, you know, like 2 1-hour sessions over the course of 2 days is not the same as 1 day with 2 hours of writing. It's not the same.
Which one is better, are you saying?
Two days of 1 hour sessions.
Oh,
is better.
Because you get your like refreshed.
Yeah. You're refreshed. You're thinking about things. Things are percolating, you know, like. You finish those pages and then you walk away and then you're doing the dishes and you have an idea, or, you know, like you can't cram it
right
in the same way.
Yeah.
And that's not to say you should put in full days of writing if you can afford it.
Right.
Bandwidth wise. And look, easier said than done, but especially when you do have real deadlines looming, you know, and a writing partner to hold you accountable. I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of like pitching back our new direction and making, you know, getting it kind of like approved before we start writing. But I think you're right. Like, that doesn't really matter. Like, worst case scenario, it's like just exercising the writing muscle and creating some kind of related pages and brainstorming to some degree, too.
A podcast that I talked about on the show, The Screenwriting Life, had Andrew Stanton on, you know, who wrote Finding Nemo, and he has an incredible career. Now he's directing television. He directed a bunch of Stranger Things and stuff. He's, you know, a living legend. He talked about on that podcast trying to be in the mode of strumming the guitar is what he called it. And that's like, he started as a musician when he was a young man, and just like being stoned in the garage or in a bedroom, like just noodling on a guitar. When you decide to write a new song, you don't sit down and say, okay, this first chord has to be the right chord, and then I'll know the next chord. And then, you know, it's not mapped out perfectly. That's an insane way to write a song.
Right.
You just like pick up the guitar and you mess around, and then eventually you hear something and you're like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do that again, and then you maybe put them in the same order or reverse them or whatever. You're just playing. And that's right. How he always wants to start his screenplay process. And as, you know, kind of like busy people, results oriented people, sometimes we don't often indulge ourselves or give ourselves the chance to do that exploration. And that is what December is for.
It's for strumming the guitar.
Just strumming the guitar. Yeah.
I like that.
But truly, I think it is valuable. If you want more nuggets, you could always hop over to The Screenwriting Life. Their conversation with Andy Stanton is filled with those great nuggets, actually. So endorsed.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. Well, Oren, this was great. Maybe we'll talk about production companies on another podcast.
Yeah.
But we've got a bunch of cool stuff planned for the rest of this year. Let's hop into unpaid endorsements.
Unpaid endorsements.
So my first one is a retraction, is an apology.
Ooh, I really like
Get ready, Oren. In previous episodes, you've talked about how you love to watch artsy films or just anything on an airplane.
Yes.
And I give you a hard time about watching a Portrait of a Lady on Fire on an airplane.
Yes.
Because, you know, like, oh, they're so visually stunning. You should see them on a bigger screen. You know, watch the movie, watch whatever movie you want to watch. Like, why hate on a, look, the screen's smaller. It's like not ideal, but also like watch the movie.
Also your face is way closer to it.
Yeah. I'm endorsing watching great films, even on an airplane. The second one, I'm endorsing the concept of coffee subscription services. So Trade is a national one. You can get Trade anywhere you live. I love a Los Angeles Coffee Club. I subscribe to both. If you kind of dial in the cadence of the amount of beans that you need relative to what you were drinking, and you were just getting a pound of coffee sent to you at the right time.
Yeah.
That satisfaction is hard to beat. You look at your hopper, you're like, oh man, I'm almost out of beans. And then there it is on your doorstep. And my last one is a travel hack. We both work remotely all the time. You know, we have to travel to different places to shoot. And so I've got my bag, my kit pretty well dialed in. I've got all of the toiletries. Basically anything I need on a trip is just already packed in my bag. So I'm ready to go. I just put my clothes in and I'm set. But like, I've got a bathing suit in there. I've got sandals in there. I got all the toiletries. Everything's good to go. But the thing that I realized, the next level thing that I've added to my travel kit is an empty spray bottle. And here's why. Inevitably, you will be on a job where you need to like look professional and nice. You're going to go to a client dinner or you want to look good on the shoot or whatever. And I like to have a little bit of a ritual where I like pull out the ironing board and, you know, kind of iron everything as part of like settling in for the night, right? It's just kind of like I'm trying to give myself routines because my world has been upended. I don't really iron much at home. But anytime I've tried to use a hotel iron and you put the water in the iron and you try to spritz it out or whatever, mm-hmm. you just end up with a soaking wet shirt.
mm-hmm.
So bringing your own spray bottle means that you're going to release all those wrinkles. You're going to be looking great, feeling good, and you didn't spill a bunch of water all over the place. That is my endorsement. Kaplan, what you got?
PDF Squeezer. It's an app I just bought on Black Friday for $5. It's usually $10. Mm. You know, we always have to squeeze our PDFs. There's a PDF shrink or shrinkpdf.com, which is great, but you can only use it like 10 times or 5 times in an hour. There's some limitations.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that you want to shrink a PDF is because we're making giant decks that have
85 megabyte images. PDFs.
They're really big.
Yeah, we're trying to get them to be 6 megabytes.
And you don't want to just send a Google Drive link?
If it's a Google Slide deck, then yeah, I guess I would do that. But a lot of times, even when I send a Google Slides deck, they'll ask for PDF. And so I'll download mm-hmm. it and it'll be like 85 megabytes.
But you don't send them like I'm saying like a drive.
Oh, no. I would never send anyone. I find it offensive when people send me like a 48 megabyte pre-production book or something. It's just like, you know, people are looking at these things on their phone, on their, you know, they're out mm-hmm. on the go. They're
got it.
I'd say 20 megabytes is the biggest PDF I would ever send someone, but I try to get them
which is
under
the threshold
10
for
that's, Google that's Gmail the threshold attachments.
For yeah. Gmail. Yeah.
PDF Squeeze. So, you know, you can use Adobe Acrobat and lets you optimize and do all the settings and everything. And it does cost money and it is a pain. PDF Squeeze, I just have it in my dock on my Mac and I just drag PDFs into there and it just automatically shrinks it and puts it right next to it, adds like a nice dash small or whatever you want to the end. And it does a pretty good job with the images. And like some of my PDFs come out like 90% smaller with like barely a visible image quality difference. You know, and storyboards, like all these things that I'm like making like revisions on daily and I just have to keep squeezing PDFs. PDF Squeezer will not change your life, but it'll make it slightly more convenient. Other thing I did today for my DGA application is I had to get it notarized. And, you know, going to notary is kind of a pain in the butt. You know, sometimes you go to the post office or place as a notary and you have to wait in line and costs money and all this stuff. But when they sent me the application, they said, by the way, you can use an online notary. And I didn't even know that that existed. So I Googled it. And I used one called Notarize, Notarize, notarize.com. It's just like a real notary. Yeah.
Did it give you the sound effect? the test sound effect.
What's the test sound effect?
So in advance of like you logging on to video chat with your notary.
Yeah.
It will do, it'll basically give you their equivalent of room tone, but it's a man going, notarized. It really makes me laugh.
Oh man.
And so when I had to get something notarized, I'm just like chuckling to myself as like, you know, this nice lady hops on and it's like, what's so funny?
But yeah, you get on a video chat with a notary. They ask you some questions. You send them some documents and then they notarize. $25. And yeah. It was very easy and I never had to leave my house. And I have a notarized seal from a notary in Texas. So anyhow, notarize.com, my other endorsement. But yeah, that's it. Halfway through December. People are wrapping up school and work and figuring out.
About to go on vacation.
Yeah.
We're probably... People are flying home. We're in their ears as they're flying. And they're like, dang, if I'd only heard this tip about bringing the spray bottle.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. Please email us. Let us know what your December looks like. We're justshootitpod@gmail.com. You can also find us across all social media @justshootitpod. We'd love to hear from you. We even got some emails about coming to our live show, which we need to plan, I guess. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be 2023. We're going to be honest with ourselves.
Get ready.
You can find me. I'm on Instagram @okaplan. I posted a new thing, finally. And I'm on Twitter @SmiteyPyleg.
And I'm @MrMadlenlow across all social media. This episode was edited by Noah Bayshore. Thanks, Noah. And this episode was produced by Tyler Schmall. And you're listening to music provided by the Free Music Archive and the artist, Jazar. Thanks, everyone.
Oh, well, wait. Matt already stopped recording, but I did want to let people know that I uploaded 270 gigs of my 300 gig file. So almost finished. In case you're interested, we'll catch you next time. Bye.